And that's when we used to do. You're going to sing, sing, sing. All right, take your Bibles, if you will, please, and turn to Genesis chapter 20. Genesis chapter 20. While you're turning there, I mentioned this morning. Next Sunday is Steve and Hannah Jaggard's last Sunday with us. They'll be here Wednesday, but that'll be their last Sunday. And we're going to have a little reception after the evening service. And I hope you can stay and plan to stay. We'll have some goodies there. And just kind of give them a chance to say goodbye and all those kind of things. And so if you can come, I know they would appreciate it, and I'd appreciate it. And so that's next Sunday night. I kind of was holding off, wasn't sure what I was going to do, because usually that's the Sunday night. By the way, anybody need a worksheet? Slip your hand up there and keep that up while I'm talking here. Need a worksheet? The guys will come around. That's the Sunday night. The following week is when we go down and lead the singing at the Soar of Lord Conference. And Lord willing, I have a voice to do that. And but we usually leave after the morning service and get down there for the evening service. And because it just takes a long time to drive down on Monday and then start the Monday night, and then it's Monday morning. It's Tuesday morning. Run seminars in the afternoon and services every night. And so it's just a little long week, but we're just gonna try to leave early on Monday morning and get down there and take a nap before it starts. But if you can be here tomorrow, next Sunday night, appreciate that, and we'll have a little send off for them. Genesis chapter 20. Working our way through the life of Abraham. Abraham's legacy was that he believed God and was counted to him for righteousness. Listen. We're not perfect. We're not going to be perfect. We never will be perfect. There's none righteous. No, not one. There's all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we will, until we get to heaven, we're going to be coming short of the glory of God. God understands that. Listen, if he were to mark iniquity, who should stand? Listen, he sees our frame. We're just dust. He pities us as a father pities his children. That doesn't mean we shouldn't try. That doesn't mean we shouldn't do everything we can. That doesn't mean we shouldn't yield to the Holy Spirit, let him teach us and empower us for to do right. We should do that. But the fact is, we're going to mess up. Now the Lord is not that he's happy that we mess up, but he loves us with an everlasting love. And when we mess up, by the way, when you sin, it says in 1 John, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just, forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I've said this before. I think some parents are so hard on their kids because it's like they expect the kids to already know all the rules. They expect them to do right from the very beginning. Listen, when you have kids, you might as well say, I forgive you for the rest of your life. Because if you don't, you're gonna kill them. And when Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, God had already decided before the foundation of the world, I'm going to forgive them for the rest of their life. All they got to do is receive what I've done on the cross as payment for their sin. If they'll just admit that they need being forgiven, I'll forgive them. That's it. And so, you know, you got to believe in what Christ did on the cross and understand it, but that's what we're talking about. Now, Abraham is living a life. Now, Abraham, we started this whole thing way back when, weeks ago, and I said Abraham was an ordinary man, now dig it up, with ordinary faults. And because of his ordinary faults, he has ordinary fears. Oh, you're good. Because we have faults and fears, what's going to happen? Ordinary failures. There's nothing new under the sun. We have faults, we have fears, we have failures. What makes a difference in Abraham's life? He had ordinary faith in an extraordinary God. Now watch, can you remember this? He had faith in the what of God? Faith, oh good. Faith in the faithfulness of God. It's not faith in that we're going to be perfect. The faith is God is who he is. I said it this morning in Malachi 3:6. He says, I am the Lord God, I change not. therefore Jacob is not consumed. The reason I haven't knocked you off the planet is because I'm God and I love you with an everlasting love, and that never changes. Now, every time we sin, we're going to get ourselves in trouble. Sin complicates things. It makes problems. And the fact is, we could stay away from so many problems if we were just, by faith, trust the Lord. And we're going to see that again here in Abraham's life. Now, these accounts that we have here in Abraham's life are written for our ensamples, to strike a die. These are stories that are included for our sake as well as for his historical record. These accounts are to teach us. They're to teach us that sin is okay? No, of course not. That's clearly discouraged in the Word of God. What then? They're here to teach us that God is faithful and true in spite of our faults and our fails and our failures. Now, what pleases God? Faith. In the faithfulness of God is what pleases him. Now, he's going to tell us some things here. And we've seen here in our story, Abraham left Ur of Chaldee because God told him so when he was 75 years old. God reestablishes his covenant when he's 85 years old. Now, when we get to this story, it's only been a few weeks since the angel showed up at his house and said, this time next year, you're going to have a kid. I'm going to bring back to you the life as it is with life, and you and Sarah, and about this time next year, you're going to have a child. And of course, then he went down, and there was Sodom and Gomorrah, and all that went on. And so within a year here, so we're right in the middle of this year, very early, and that's where we are. And we're going to see a story that some people want to say, well, they forgot they wrote this story before, so they rewrote it again with different circumstances. No. How many times have we done the same stupid thing over again? Watch this. How many times we did it and we got rid of it and it's been a long time and somehow it might be months, it might be years, and the same old sin catches us all over again. Well, that's what's happening with Abraham. Let's read chapter 20 of Genesis. And Abraham journeyed from thence, from where he was staying when the guys came through and headed to Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south country and dwelled between Kadesh and Shur and sojourned in Gerar. And Abram said of Sarah, his wife, she is my sister. And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. Now, does this sound familiar? Remember, he was down in Egypt, and he said, when they see you, tell them you're my sister, because they'll probably kill me to get you. Which meant he was going to let them get her. It's weird. But he had a fear here. So he says, but God came to Abimelech. Now, by the way, he was the king of the Philistines. Remember the Philistines in David's time? Well, they're already there. It's already a mess. So it says, God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, behold, thou art a dead man, for the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife. But Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, Lord, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation? Said he not to me, she is my sister? And she, even herself, said, he is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and innocency of my hands have I done this, so help me. And God said unto him in a dream, yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thy heart, for I also withheld thee from sinning against me. Therefore suffered I thee not to touch her. Now therefore restore the man his wife, for he's a prophet, and he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live, and if thou restore her not, know thou that thou shalt surely die, thou and all that are thine. Therefore Abimelech rose early in the morning, he called all his servants, and he told all these things in their ears, and the men were sore afraid. Then Abimelech called Abraham and said unto him, what hast thou done unto us? And what have I offended thee that thou hast brought on me and on my kingdom a great sin? Thou hast done deeds unto me that ought not to be done. And Abimelech said unto Abraham, what sawest thou that thou hast done this thing? And Abraham said, because I thought, surely the fear of God is not in this place, and they will slay me for my wife's sake. And yet indeed, she is my sister. She's the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother, and she became my wife. And it came to pass, when God caused me to wander from my father's house, that I said unto her, this is thy kindness which thou shalt show unto me at every place whither we shall come. Say of me, he's my brother. And Abimelech took sheep and oxen and men servants and women servants and gave them unto Abraham, restored him Sarah his wife. And Abimelech said, behold, my land is before thee, dwell where it pleaseth thee. And unto Sarah he said, behold, I have given thy brother 1,000 pieces of silver. Behold, he is to thee a covering of the eyes unto all that are with thee and with all other. Thus she was reproved. So Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants, and they bare children. For the Lord had fast closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. Let's pray, and we're going to work through some stuff here. There's some crazy stuff in here. And we're talking about Abraham is still Abraham. God is still God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for your word. And we thank you for the truths. We thank the way you speak to us. And Lord, once again, give us exactly what we need. And Lord, there's some things that are in here that we can find confusing, mostly because of our culture and so forth. But Lord, help us through your Holy Spirit to learn the lessons that you want us to understand here, the truths and the principles. And we thank you, Lord, that you've done this. I thank you that you show your men, even though they were great men of faith, you show them warts and all, problems and all, sins and all. To be honest with you, it's encouraging that I know that even though I want to be right before your eyes, I know I'm not going to be. And I know that because of your love and because you change not, we're not consumed. So Lord, help us to have you in our heart and you in our eyes and seek you with all our heart, even though we may fall at times. Thank you for your love and your mercy. And the Lord, teach us, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. What pleases God? Faith in the faithfulness of God. So God is teaching us that he's going to fulfill his promise to Abraham. Not because Abraham has finally reached sinless perfection, but because God is faithful and he cannot deny himself. He's faithful. We may not believe him, but God is faithful. He will not be himself. Listen, we believe not. It says in 2 Timothy 2:13, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny, cannot contradict who he is. Now remember, God has given Abraham a promise. Now this is a promise to Abraham. This isn't a promise that we can apply to all of us. We can apply the principles of the promise, but we can't apply the exact promise. Way back when, for folks who weren't here, God told Abraham, I'm going to make you a great nation. And he said, well, how do you know that? How do I know that's going to happen? Well, God makes a deal. He did something that was normal back then. They took several large animals and divided up in different pieces and a few birds and so forth. And they had these bloody pieces on either side. And normally two people would walk through this together and basically saying, I'm going to keep my side of the deal and you're going to keep your side of the deal. And if I don't, may this happen to me. Again, kind of a cross my heart, hope I die, stick a needle in my eye type of thing. And said, I am going to keep my word. But the thing was, when God made the deal with Abraham, he put Abraham in a sleep. So Abraham knew what was happening, but Abraham couldn't get up and get in the middle of it. God went through the pieces all by himself. In other words, he was saying, as crazy as it is, and I know you're not going to be perfect, Abraham, I'm going to show all the world that when I make a promise, even if it seems kind of wild and far-fetched, I keep my promises. And that's exactly what he's going to do here. So what we see here is, well, that doesn't make sense. This is not fair. God doesn't do this with everybody. He made a promise to Abraham. Why? Because he wants to know, he wants us to know, even when we mess up, God still loves us with an everlasting love. When we confess our sins, he's faithful every time to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When God says, I'll supply all your need according to his riches and glory, and you say, well, you know the circumstances, that doesn't look like that's going to happen. He says, listen, I'm faithful. When everything looks like nothing could happen, when you're in the middle of something, God gives you a vision, you start doing it, one of the first things he does a lot of times is he rips the rug out from underneath of you. You say, well, I thought we were supposed to do this. There's no way this is going to happen. He says, I don't want it to look like it's going to happen because I don't want you to think you did it. I want you to know that I did it. You got the story of Gideon. Gideon was already upset because there was only 32,000 of them. And there was a multitude you couldn't number of the Midianites. And God says, oh, men of great valor, here we go. Let's do this. You talking to who? Who are you talking to? I'm talking to you, Gideon. You're going to help lead these people and defeat the Midianites. And he said, well, I already got 32,000. I said, yeah, that's too many. Let's knock this down a bit. Let's knock it down to 10,000. Okay. And he says, you know what, Gideon, that's too many too. And they knock it down to 300. And all they have in their hand is a trumpet and a pitcher with a light inside. Now, you don't do a whole lot of fighting when you've got your hands full of that kind of stuff. What was God teaching them? He said, listen, I told you, you're going to win. Just do what I said. Even made no sense at all. Well, listen, God keeps his promises. And that's exactly, they won with 300 because the enemy defeated himself. Well, that doesn't make sense. That's because God did it. If it made sense, you wouldn't need faith. And God is saying again here, he's trying to teach us, even when it doesn't make sense, even when it just it doesn't even seem right, God says, I made my promise, and I'm going to keep my promise. As absurd as it may seem, I keep my promise. Now, for God not to fulfill the unconditional promise that he gave Abraham would to deny who he really is. Let me say that again. You're looking at me like a calf looking at a new gate. For God not to keep his unconditional promise with Abraham would be to deny or to contradict who he really is. God is faithful. And for God to be anything but faithful would be to go against his eternal character. Now remember that. To doubt that God's going to be faithful is basically to call him a liar. Now, that doesn't make him happy. But he that cometh to him must believe that he is all that he says he is, and he's a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. We got to believe he's faithful. And so God is teaching us that it is his character to keep his promises. That includes his promises to us. Now, not all of God's promises are unconditional. But if God makes a promise, he will certainly hold up to his end of the deal. Genesis 17, 21 says, but my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year. He told him, the kid's going to show up in the next year. And the name's going to be Isaac. And it's going to go on. So he makes his promises. Now let's look at some crazy things here. This passage is kind of full of lessons. And we've got to be careful not to interpret this passage according to our social morals and customs, but according to the Lord's righteousness and his faithfulness and the merciful character that he has. Let me give you number one. Sin will always be a part of our earthly existence. Shall we sin that grace may abound? God forbid. But the fact is, sin is always going to be part of our earthly existence. Why are we surprised when our kids sin? They got it from us. Why are we surprised when our spouse sins against us, or we sin against our spouse? Now, I'm not making excuses. And we ought to stop it. And we ought to ask the Lord to help us. We ought to confess it and forsake it. But the fact is, it's going to happen. And there's going to be sometimes going to take you off guard. That's why you have to be on guard. Flee youthful lust. Get away from that. Sin will always be a part of our earthly existence. Letter A here, Genesis 20, verse 1. And Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south country and dwelt between Kadesh and Shur and sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said of Sarah, his wife, she is my sister. And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. Now he journeyed from thence, which is where he could see Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, why he left, we can only speculate. I'm not sure why. But the point was, he left. Maybe he just wanted to get it out of town. Everything's going up in smoke. I don't know, but he decided he's going to leave town. Now, he goes down to the south country, and he gets into the area of the Philistines there. And he had this thing that he said with Sarah from the very beginning. Now, if I go in there and people start looking at you, you tell them you're my sister so they don't kill me to get you. Now, that's a stupid thing to do. It's a fearful thing. It's something he's doing out of fear. He's got faults. He's got fears, and then he has failures. And that's exactly what happened. Why? Because and the problem was he didn't trust, have faith in the faithfulness of God. Now, this is exactly what happened at the very beginning. When we started all these passages, that's exactly what happened with Pharaoh. Same thing happened. Now, you think by now he would get things fixed. Letter B, Abraham falls into the same sin as before. He falls into the same sin as before. Abraham still has ordinary faults and ordinary fears and ordinary failures. By the way, we do not arrive to sinful perfection. I don't care who you are, if you think you've arrived at sinful perfection, the problem is you don't know enough as much sin about sin as God knows about sin. We see, well, you know, I've got all the big things cared for, so it must be good. What about the little things? One little thought. When the kids come down here, you know, and some of them join the church, I'm a little harder on the kids a lot of times than I am the adults, and I'll say, what's sin? And they'll say, it's anything we do or think or say that God doesn't like. The thought of foolishness. The thought of foolishness is sin. You can't tell me that you can go a year, you can go a month without some foolish thought. Sin is always part of us. But Proverbs 24:16, for a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. But a wicked shall fall into mischief. What's he saying? A just man, a man of God, he falls. And that word seven times, their phrase, means over and over. But he gets up. We're not going to be sinless. But when you get into sin, get back up. You say, well, I just blew it too many times. Get back up. Well, I don't think God wants me to. Well, then you're calling him a liar. Because if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. He that covers his sins shall not prosper. He that confesseth and forsaketh shall have mercy. Don't call him a liar. Now, there are a couple of little quirks here. He's going down there. And he says, now, Abimelech, this is my sister. And Abimelech takes her. Now, answer me this. How old is Abraham when Isaac's born? 100 years old. How old is Sarah when Isaac's born? 90. Good. Now, this is all going to happen within a year. So he's 99 and she's 89. Now you think about this. First of all, apparently she's not showing yet. Okay? This must be pretty soon after Abraham was told that Isaac would be born in the next year. Secondly, Sarah must have been a good-looking woman for 89 years old. I'm serious. She must have been some looker. Now, this is kind of strange. If you think about it, this doesn't make sense. But watch me. Now, listen, with God, nothing is impossible. Now, some think that both Abraham and Sarah were actually made younger by God. It says in Genesis 18:10, it returned on them according to the time of life. Now, watch this. After Sarah, remember, she said, well, we're not going to be able to have any babies because Abraham's too old to do this too. After Sarah dies and Isaac gets married and moves out of the house, Abraham gets married again to a gal named Keturah. And they have at least 6 kids. So watch this. Now, Isaac gets married when he's 40 years old. Genesis 25:20. You can look at it. Now, that makes Abraham 140 years old plus when he marries Keturah and has 6 more kids. Now, the fact is, you say, well, that's just kind of wild. That can't be Bible. Well, listen. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was a virgin. Elizabeth was of great age when she gave birth to John the Baptist. The whole idea of Abraham and Sarah being well out of the range of bearing children when the child of promise shows up, the whole idea was to prove God can do it. And by the way, this is not some happenstance. They didn't just get lucky. This was God. Now, I think God is trying to tell us here, when God fixes up something, he fixes it up good. Now, I don't know, I'll be honest with you, I wish I could tell you all, you know, give exactly what happened. All I know is the Bible is true. And I know that Sarah was a good enough looking woman that Abraham was afraid somebody's going to come along and swipe her. Now, can you imagine Abimelech going in there and find, you're how old? Never mind. I'm just saying the parts, this isn't really part of the story here, but I mean, it's really not part of the main message here, but just so you know, that's what we're saying. And I think God can do anything he wants. You know what they say? Some people say that Adam and Eve were created as adults. They didn't have, you know, what came first, the chicken or the egg? The chicken. What came first, the man or the baby? The man and the woman. And so God can do whatever he wants. In fact, some people have speculated, this is totally speculation, that when we get to heaven, we're all going to be 30 years old in the prime of life. Wouldn't that be nice? You know, remember what it used to be when you were 30? Oh, my soul. Anyway. All right, anyway, so sin, number one, always will be a part of our earthly existence. And here's Abraham right back in it, same old thing. You know, if she's that good a looking woman and God could do that for them, why doesn't he think God can take care of him, keep him alive? We see all these things that God does and then something else comes up and we throw it all out just that quick. Well, he can't do it this time. Well, he's done it this time, this time, this time. He's done this person's life this time, this time, this time. Yeah, I know, but this is different. What do you mean it's different? God's still God, isn't he? Number two. This is interesting, too. Again, there's several lessons here. God respects all those that fear him. God respects all those that fear him. Look at verse 3. But God came to Abimelech, a Philistine. Not Jew, not part of Abraham's people, a Philistine. In a dream by night, and said unto him, Behold, thou art but a dead man. You're toast. You're toast. You know what you're doing? Listen, you've done something and you're toast. You're a dead man. For the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife. You say, well, why is that? That's not fair. Listen, because God has to bless them that bless Abraham and curse those that curse Abraham because that's his promise. Now, don't go into the morals and all this stuff. The purpose of what God is trying to do is to teach us, no matter how absurd, how crazy it sounds, when God makes a promise, he keeps his promise. And if he can keep that promise, man, what about the promises that are right and true and just and that he's promised us? So God has to do that. Watch verse 4. But Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, Lord, wilt thou also slay a righteous nation? Don't kill us all. By the way, letter B, it is good to be able to come to God with innocent hands. It's so good to come to God with innocent hands. Listen, Abimelech didn't have anything. He says, listen, wait, whoa. I didn't do this. I didn't mean to do this. So help me. I'm innocent. I didn't mean anything by it. Verse 5. And then he says, he's talking to God about Abraham. Said he not unto me, she's my sister? Didn't you hear him say? I mean, you heard him. He's having this conversation with God. You heard him. He told me that she's his sister. And even she herself said, he's my brother. In the integrity of my heart and innocency of my hands have I done this. Verse 6. And God said unto him in a dream, yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thy heart. For I also withheld thee from sinning against me. Therefore suffered I thee not to touch her. Listen, and I believe this. In fact, I know this has happened several times in my life where something has gone haywire and I'm trying to think what's wrong with this. And in the long run, I find out God stopped something before I got myself in trouble. I didn't understand what was going on. Everything seemed fine as far as it was in my eyes. In fact, I got a little bit irritated because it wasn't working the way I wanted it to work. But when it's all said and done, it's kind of like God said, Sterling, sometimes I think you slept too long on one side and your brain done rolled out your ear. But I'm going to keep you from messing up things. And he stops it. I don't know whether he made him busy or what it was. Got him into this or that. He just never had time to go see her. 1 Corinthians 10 says this. I think you have it there. There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Now watch me. You know what Abimelech could have said? This Philistine king? Well, I don't care what you said, God, I like her. What do you mean I can't have her? I'm going to keep her. I don't need you tell me what to do. That's what he could have said. And you listen, people get all wound up. They get all upset because they had some scenario all lined up. This is what they were going to do. And it seems like it just get knocked down, pushed and God's resisting you. And you're trying to figure out, why can't I do what I need to do? And we put our head down and we're gonna fight through it. When we ought to, you know what we ought to do? Do the whole duty of God. Just fear God and keep his commandments. If it's not working right, don't push it. Well, you know, I thought, just be patient. It's amazing how God works things out if we let him. There's a lot of things we worry about that never happen. But we have also raided over it because God's not doing what we want him to do. We think he's fighting us. Maybe he's saving us from some problem. Look at verse 7. God says to him, "Now therefore, restore the man his wife." Look at this. "For he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live, and if thou restore her not, know thou that thou shalt surely die, and all that are thine." Now listen, you know what? I have a problem with that verse. He's the prophet. He's the liar. You're the one that did right, and you want it. The prophet who's a liar to pray for you. What's that? That's not right. That's not fair. That's not the way it should be. In fact, Abimelech's a more righteous man than this whole thing. What's happening? The word prophet there means a man that God's working through, an inspired man, a man of God, if you will. A man that God is using to express himself to mankind. That's what a prophet does. A prophet expresses what God wants us to know. The priest was the one who's the interceder between us and God, takes us to God. But a prophet is one who tells the world what God wants us to know. And so Abraham, not that he prophesied and told fortunes and foretold things and predicted, he was here to tell the world something that God wanted us to know. What was that? He keeps his promises. God is faithful. Well, that's not right. God is faithful. You know, there's a lot of folks today who said, why do we support Israel? Because they don't do everything exactly right. They never have. And neither have we. But the fact is, God gave a promise to Abraham, and the promise is not done. Where's the Philistines? How about the Hittites? The Hivites? The Girgashites? The Parasites and the Termites? Where are they? In my basement. No. Where are they? They're long gone. They've been absorbed into society. And yet Israel, that little bunch of hard-nosed, stiff-necked people, there they are, 2018, and they're still here. And the world's been trying to get rid of them all their lives. You know, all along they've been trying to get rid of them. And here they are. You know why? Because God is faithful. Well, it doesn't make sense. He's trying to show mankind he loves us with an everlasting love. I change not, therefore Jacob is not consumed. Well, that's not, I'm telling you who I am. Now, I'll be honest with you, I want to get in on it. If that's what if he loves me in spite of who I am, you don't get that everywhere. I think if I can get on as much as I can, I want to. Instead of getting mad because he's blessed Jacob, why don't we just happily get on board? And he says, okay, I'm going to have Abraham pray for you. Why? Because Abraham's the one that walks with God. Watch. God blesses those who bless Abraham. God's going to curse those who curse Abraham. Look at verse C. Watch this. We are not the only ones that fear God. This is a little side thing here, not mainly the main point, but we're not the only ones that fear God. I bet you Abimelech doesn't do everything that Abraham did. Acts 10:34, Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God's no respecter of persons, but in every nation He that fear every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. I don't care who you are. There's the principle of you fear God. Keep his commandments. God's going to bless it. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, or standeth in the way of sinners, or sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he should be like a tree planted by rivers of water, to bring forth fruit in his season. And whatsoever he, and leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. There's a promise. He didn't say, blessed is the Jew. Blessed is the Israelite. He said, blessed is the man. Mankind, ladies, by the way. There's a promise. Do you realize that that promise is just as true and just as sure as the promise he gave to Abraham? That he's trying to prove that he keeps his promise no matter how bad it looks. Even looks like the whole world is falling apart. He says, you stick with me. And when it's all said and done, you're going to make headway. You're going to prosper in this. Letter D. Abraham, watch this. Abraham is fearing, isn't fearing God as much as Abimelech is. Now you might need to look up there and see how to spell Abimelech. But Abraham isn't fearing God as much as Abimelech is. Look at verse 8. Therefore Abimelech rose early in the morning and called all his servants and told all these things in their ears, and the men were sore afraid. Then Abimelech called Abraham and said unto him, what hast thou done unto us? In other words, you've got a power that nobody else has. There's a source for your for what's going on. God is behind you. What in the world are you trying to do to us? What hast thou done to us? And what have I offended thee that thou hast brought on me and on my kingdom a great sin? What did I do to you? You got God on my back. You come along and trick me, and now all of a sudden I'm crossways with God. I got God on my back. What did I do to you? Now listen, he's worried about having God on his back. Why isn't Abraham worried about having God on his back? What have I offended thee in that thou hast brought on me and all my kingdom a great sin? Thou hast done deeds unto me that ought not abundant. You did stuff to me. You shouldn't do that kind of stuff. I mean, it's just not right. And Abimelech said unto Abraham, what sawest thou that thou hast done this thing? What in the world were you seeing that you did this to me? Now watch. Look at this. Abimelech is not questioning the fairness of the situation. He's not arguing with God and saying, hey, this isn't fair. Abraham's the bad guy here. Now, he's arguing with Abraham, but he's not fighting with God. I think he fears God. He realizes God's relationship with Abraham, and he fears it. There's something about Abraham. God's got his hand on him. Of course, God told him that. God's got his hand on Abraham, so don't touch him. Well, I don't understand. That's not the point. By the way, there's some things God tells us not to touch. Well, I don't think it's so bad. That's not the point. Fear God. Do what he says. Listen. He fears God, and he realizes that the relationship with Abraham, and so he fears that relationship. And if Abraham is God's man, and if I fear God, then it's not going to do me any good to hurt God's man. So I don't understand. I don't care whether you understand it. That's what God said. Then leave him alone. He blesses those that bless Abraham. He curses those that curse Abraham. That's all it means. Well, I don't think that's right. I don't care whether you think it's right. Makes no difference if you think it's right. That's what God said. So unless you don't fear God, you're going to keep your hands off of this. Number three. Abraham, watch, is fearing Abimelech more than he's fearing God. Abraham is fearing Abimelech more than he's fearing God. How many times is that the case? God says, this is what we do. Yeah, but that's not going to work. You see all these circumstances here. God says, listen, I'm faithful. You see what I did with Abraham in the midst of all these years, what I've done with him, and I was faithful to him? Trust me. Look at verse 11. And Abraham said, well, remember, Abimelech said, why in the world did you do this? What'd you see? Were you trying to get us? He said, well, you know, I just thought, well, they don't fear God in this place, and they'll slay me for my wife's sake. And, you know, I mean, I didn't really lie. She is my sister. She's the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother. So she is his half-sister. I know it's kind of weird, but, you know, wasn't that many people around town, you know, just the way it was. And she is my sister. She's not the daughter of my mother, but she's my wife. And it came to pass when God caused me to wander from my father's house that I said unto her, this is thy kindness, give me a break, which thou shalt show unto me, at every place whether we shall come, say of me, he is my brother. Now that's a stupid thing to do, but that's where he was. Now watch me. That was way back at the beginning. Think of all the stuff they've been through. Think of how God has carried them through. Think about the promise that they're getting ready to have a baby within the year. You would think his faith should have grown by then. But he had faith and he still stayed out there. Did a lot of stupid things, but he didn't go back to Ur, Chaldees. He's still out there. Still on that path, still following the Lord, even though he does stupid things along the way. Listen, when you think you've blown it so bad that God doesn't want you anymore, you remember, if I confess my sins, he's faithful and just to forgive me of sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. His mercies are new every morning. He's not going to throw you away. We throw ourselves away. God doesn't throw us away. Look at letter B. Our safety. Now watch, he says, I came down here and I was afraid, you know, y'all don't fear God, so you're going to do something. Why don't you fear God? You're worried about whether they fear God. Who cares whether they fear God? You fear God. Your fear of God is what's going to get God to take care of you, not their fear of God to get them not to hurt you. You follow me? So let it be, our safety is not what man is or what man believes, but it is in who God is. Our safety is in who God is, having faith in the faithfulness of God. Psalm 118. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do unto me. Watch. My enemy is on God's side, so I will not fear what man... No. The Lord's on my side. Verse 7. The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. You know what he's saying? If I just knew they feared God, I'd have enough faith in them for not to hurt me. Why are we worried about what they think? Fear God, keep his commandments. That's your job. So shall you dwell in the land. Number 4. Stay on the God's side. Stay on God's side. Coming down the end here. Verse 14. And Abimelech took sheep and oxen and men servants and women servants and gave them unto Abraham and restored him Sarah, his wife. Now, wait a minute. Abraham's the one who caused all this problem. You know what I'm saying this? Abraham caused all this problem. Abimelech said, what in the world are you trying to do? And Abraham says, I didn't know you feared God. I was afraid, you know, you'd try to kill me to get my wife. And Abimelech, again, is not saying, well, this doesn't make sense. This is stupid. Why am I doing... You know what he's saying? God said, bless him that bless those that bless him, and I'll curse them that curse them. You give him back to his wife, everything will be fine. You keep his wife, you're a dead man. I mean, you're dead. You're done. Fried. And so what Abimelech did? He said, well, I don't want to have anything to do with that. So I'm going to bless him. What's he saying? I want to be on God's side. If God's going to bless those that bless him, he's going to curse them that curse him, then I'm going to make sure I bless him. I don't understand. It doesn't seem fair, but that's what God says. And that's what I got to do to have the blessings of God on my household. That's what I'm going to do. Why do we sit here and worry about and question what God said? Well, that's not fair. Doesn't make sense. Stop it. Who are we to question God? So he says, I'm going to give all these things. Verse 15. And Abimelech said, behold, my land is before thee. Dwell where it pleaseth thee. You know what I think he's saying? If I'm going to be blessed for blessing Abraham, then maybe I should keep him around a little bit. I can keep blessing him. And God can keep blessing me. This is a pretty good deal. I can walk with God. I can have God's blessing on my life. Watch this in verse 16. And watch this, though. This is interesting. And unto Sarah he said, behold, I have given thy brother, Abraham, 1,000 pieces of silver. Behold, he is to thee a covering of the eyes. Now that word is in italics. That means it was added there. Now, I'm not trying to disclaim here, but look at it this way. Behold, I have given thy brother 1,000 pieces of silver. Behold, now look. He to thee a covering of the eyes. Unto all that are with thee and with all others. All. You know what I think he's saying? You might not, I looked this up, and I looked this commentator, that commentator there, and some of them don't have anything to do with it. I'll tell you what I think he's saying. He said, Abraham, you shouldn't have done this to me. And you know what? Don't do this to anybody else. This is not right. She's a good-looking woman. I'll tell you what I think he's saying. I think he's saying, here's $1,000. Go buy her a new wardrobe so she's not so sexy. Now, you can laugh at me, but I think that's what he's saying. I want you to cover her up. Watch. Do what it takes to keep the eyes of other men off of you so that they can, so they don't desire you. Watch. Thus she was reproved. Look at that. Thus she was reproved. Sarah was convicted and made to do right. I think he was saying, she's just a good-looking woman. You gotta help us guys out. I mean, if you don't want anybody to take her and you don't want to deal with it, well, then don't let her be so attractive. Do something. I know I might be pushing it, but I think it's as good an explanation as anybody else's that's come out there. He's saying she ought to dress in a way that she's not so attractive to men. We can stay out of this problem. Just the word of the wise. Let her be. God will bless those that bless Abraham, and curse those that curse him. Now, whether Israel always does right or it doesn't is not our concern. Our concern is to be on the Lord's side. If the Lord is on Israel's side, then we had better not take the side that is opposite of the Lord. He's saying, bless God's man if you don't want to cut yourself off from the blessings of God. He said, Abraham's God's man. You better bless him. Number 5, we're almost all done. This is kind of a summary. Ready? God keeps his promises even when we do not deserve it. God keeps his promises even when we do not deserve it. You know, he dies and pays for our sins. And we're supposed to take off the old man, put on the new man, live righteously, justly, flee fornication, all those sins. Why doesn't he just, you know, when we mess up that much, why don't he just say, you know what, forget it. I don't want you in heaven. I know I paid for your sins, but I don't want you in heaven. Why? Because his promises are sure. He says, whosoever called upon him shall have everlasting life. So believe on Israel, everlasting doesn't stop. If it stopped, it wouldn't be everlasting. So if it stopped, that means God was lying to us. But the God who cannot lie promised before the foundation of the world. God keeps his promises even when we do not deserve them. Look at verse 17. So Abraham prayed unto God. And God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants. And they bare children. For the Lord had fast closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. That kind of tells me that they were kind of in the area for quite a while. I don't really know how long, but long enough that they could say, hey, why aren't we having more babies around here? So you kind of take a little bit of time. Why isn't this, what's going on here? Now, God made an unconditional covenant with Abraham. God is proving to the world that he is faithful, true, and powerful. God is not teaching us that all promises are unconditional. Okay? God is teaching us that he always holds up his end of the deal. God is not condoning sin. God is merciful and faithful, and he's proving himself to be. That's what it's about. Don't get confused about it. God bless you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for your word. Thank you for your faithfulness to us. And Lord, I pray that you'll help us to rise up in arms of faith and just trust you. Oh, if we could just trust you. Just trust you. Heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet. Piano's going to play his